This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why are the communists like this? Why are they so different? We're going to talk about that tonight. Harmeet Dhillon joins us. The DOJ has new action. Trump is taking action. All that, so much more coming up tonight on I'm Right. I saw a poll yesterday, and, you know, polls can be off, but let's assume this poll, for the sake of argument, is anywhere close to being accurate, and it probably was, given the sample size of it, that showed abolishing ICE, unpopular with Republicans, obviously, unpopular with independents, but abolishing ICE has 70%+ approval rating in the Democrat Party. I'm not talking about politicians. I'm talking about Democrats, the Democrats in your life, Democrats you meet. 70%. When you get to a point with any political party in any country on any issue where the base, the voter, is 70% in favor of something, that is the party. That is the stance of the party. No Democrat politician can stand for ICE when 70% of their voting base is for abolishing ICE. Now, let's just pause for a moment and think about this. ICE. I know the communists have worked very hard. We'll get to that in a moment about ICE being controversial, but you understand that ICE shouldn't even be partisan, right? It shouldn't be a partisan issue. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or a Green Party or Libertarian or but wherever you are, deporting people who are in your country illegally, that's just how you run a country. There's no, shouldn't be left wing or right wing. That's just how you run a country. So when it's basic common sense to you and to me, and beyond you and me, to the normies out there, when it's basic common sense that you have to have some sort of deportation force to deport illegals, when that's basic common sense, why don't Democrats think that way? And it's not one or two. How is it possible that the vast majority of Democrats don't think that way? Well, that brings me to what we're going to discuss. It's a discussion we've had before, but we are going to come back to this over and over and over again, because what I'm trying to do when we talk about this, I'm trying to save you frustration, because I get that sense a lot from people on the right that they're very frustrated in their dealings with Democrats and their dealings with the left. They're frustrated because it's like they don't understand basics, or it's like the logic completely escapes them. And I see so much of good-natured people, and maybe this is you, I see so much, I don't understand how you could think that way, but I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. So let me help you understand. And I'm not saying it will make you feel better, but I am saying it may ease a little bit of your frustration the next time you're dealing with the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life, whether you work with them or you're married to them or it's your daughter or who knows, whoever the Democrat is in your life. Democrats. Democrats live, and I'm not trying to be mean here, Democrats live in a world of make-believe. It's a world that is not real. And I want you to keep something in mind when I discuss this, and we're about to play you a couple things. You, because you're a sane person on the right, you have to watch left-wing communist opinion all day, every day. Why? Well, that's the corporate media. NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, that's the corporate media. All the major newspapers in the country, New York Times, LA Times, Washington Post. It's the ideology of the university system, of Hollywood. If you're somebody on the right, maybe you call yourself a conservative or an anti-communist, having to take in communist opinion is unavoidable for you. You see it everywhere. You can argue with it. You can ignore it. You're going to see it. But if you are a Democrat, if you are a communist, you don't ever have to hear from a right-winger. You don't ever have to hear a right-wing opinion at all, because right-wing opinion is maybe watching the first. Well, you have to go find the first. It's not every channel. Maybe you listen to my radio show, The Jesse Kelly Show. Well, you have to find it on the radio, download the podcast. Any of the websites, the right-wing websites you may listen, you may go to get your news, you have to go seek them out. It's not going to be spoon-fed to you by society. Therefore, Democrats can reside in a world of make-believe and not even know it. Democrats, especially Democrat women, how are these people so insane? They watch The View.
Trump is looking for this kind of pandemonium to go on, like you just described, so that he can declare martial law or something, and also cancel the midterms.
Well, under martial law, you won't have elections.
Yeah, that's what she said. But listen,
because he's worried, he even said,
"To administer
the
elections in this country,
take Congress next time, I will be impeached," which means that he could be convicted and sent to jail. He does not want that to happen.
He's going to cancel the midterms. Then you hear that and you roll your eyes, you laugh, maybe you pour scorn on that hag, but understand that the Democrat in your life hears that and then goes out into the world, listens to NPR on the radio. They don't ever hear the opposite side of that, ever. Unless they seek it out, they don't ever hear the opposite side of that. The NBA. Look, this is all over the sports world. Maybe you're a Democrat, but kind of a normie Democrat. And maybe you don't watch The View, but you're into sports. It's NBA season. Hey, what happened in Minneapolis? Oh, here's what the NBA says.
It's shameful, really, that in our country, we can have law enforcement officers who commit murder and seemingly get away with it.
You know, what happened in Minnesota was a straight-up murder, in my opinion, and it's awful. You know, this lady was probably trying to go home, and she didn't make it home, and that's really sad. So the whole ICE thing is a travesty. You know, it's clearly, to me, it's we're attacking brown people, and I just happen to be brown.
I want my taxes to pay for ICE, to masked thugs to roam our streets and terrorize our communities. From most angles, near and far, looks like she was trying to get away. And he shot her 3 times in the head, murdered in cold blood. And this administration, these people who are trying to tell us not to believe what we see.
Straight up murder. She's trying to go home. Attacking brown people. These aren't opinions. These are all lies. Straight up lies. And your liberal Aunt Peggy believes them. And I told you, because I knew the mass deportation of foreigners would freak out the communists so much, I told you back in October of 2024 exactly what would happen once it began.
You were going to have to take that part of you and you were going to have to set it aside, because the truth is there's no nice way to tell somebody you're not welcome here. Stay out. It cannot be done nicely. It cannot. And it will involve tears. The propaganda effort around stopping this will be the largest, most pervasive, most evil propaganda effort you have ever seen in your life. The propaganda effort is not going to be just a bunch of screaming harpies. No, that all the illegals stay. The propaganda effort is going to be aimed directly at that kind heart that beats in your chest.
And you see it everywhere. not just on The View, not just from Dave Matthews, the major news networks, they, ABC, NBC, CBS, they wouldn't, okay, even if they're biased, they wouldn't tell outright lies, right? Allow me to introduce you to the man who hosted one of the debates for president.
Tonight, there is breaking news just as we come on after the shooting and killing of a mother of three in her SUV. Tonight, Minnesota is now suing to get ICE agents out of the state. It comes as Homeland Security is now surging hundreds more federal agents into that state. Teams of armed agents in neighborhoods using battering rams at front doors.
They just lie about everything all the time. And the result of that is widespread mental illness in the Democrat Party, and it's turning them violent. They're all over the internet saying things like this.
Hey, so look, I'm just going to come out and say it. I don't really care about the consequences anymore. I don't care. We need to kill these people. There's just an alternative. I don't care if you say, oh, I've got the crazy eyes, whatever. Yeah, I do feel crazy because we've had three people die in 72 hours, and we've had over almost 30 die in the last year to a group of quote-unquote law enforcement that is basically just buffed up mall cops.
All we're learning from this is that you should hit the gas. If they're, you should. You should run them over. You should run them over with your car, and you should do it quickly before they can shoot you.
I say it's time for everybody to start getting guns and start coming out of their houses and start shooting these ICE agents in the head when they start trying to take over people.
It's a terrible place to be. But I want you to understand that's why it feels like you're talking to the wall. When you talk to a Democrat, they reside in that world, a complete world of lies, a world of make-believe that has been constructed by them, by the evil communists in the media and in the Democrat Party. Just know that you're dealing with a person who is, by any real true definition of it, insane. That's what we're dealing with, insanity. You can try the best you can to reason with it, but insane is insane. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Amon Blair is going to join us in a moment to talk some more about this. Let me talk to you about that upset stomach you have right now. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get you upset, but I do have something that might help. You know, your gut is everything when it comes to health. I'm learning that more and more as I get older. It's everything. Cowboy colostrum is going to get you right. Let me tell you what it's done for me. I don't have acid reflux anymore, ever. I don't remember the last time I had it. I put two scoops of cowboy colostrum in my coffee every morning. It's chocolate. It's delicious. And I haven't had acid reflux one time since. Hot sauce, pizzas, doesn't matter what I eat. Does your gut bug you? Give you problems from time to time? Cowboycolostrum.com. Use the code JesseTV. Try some. We'll be back.
This is your city. And when I say that, I mean everyone. People who were born here in Seattle, people who came here from across the country and from across the world. Whatever the status of your immigration paperwork, this is your city. We deserve to be safe, to live a dignified life, and to have a say in your government.
Yeah, we're in a pretty healthy place. Joining me now, Amon Blair from the Texas Public Policy Institute. He's a senior fellow over there. Amon, it's difficult to accept that we're dealing with insane people who believe America should be handed over to foreigners. It's hard to accept that, especially for normal people, but that's where we are. We just have to kind of deal with the world in which we live, don't we?
Yeah, unfortunately, even the Border Patrol agents and the ICE officers in the streets, whether you're in Minnesota, whether you're in Chicago, or whether you're in Seattle, also have to face this as well. Look, this is unprecedented. We're seeing the general population starting to side with communists in the street, anarchist groups, Antifa and the such, converged with. Also, you have Mexican cartel-affiliated gangs like the Latin Kings and other organizations that are utilizing the human beings as a weapon. And what I mean by that is The human beings that they're talking about, these foreign nationals or illegal aliens that are now inside of our communities, are being used, whether that's by the Democrats, the communists, or whether that's by the Mexican cartels, Al Shabaab, you name it, any organization, to completely eradicate the whole idea and concept of citizenship. They're using them as a catalyst, whether that is images of ICE or Border Patrol arresting them in the streets or in the homes or their workplace. And they're using the idea and image to completely destroy a rule of law. It's kind of like if your audience has ever read the book 1984, it's kind of like Newspeak, where we are now blurring the lines between illegal alien, an immigrant, and also a citizen. We're completely blurring those lines and recreating a whole new language. If you saw the video of, I think it was the police chief up in Portland starting to cry for those two Tren de Aragua members, you'll see that they're trying to use this language, saying that this was an attack on us as a community. So no longer is there a separation between citizens, immigrants that are here legally or illegal aliens, and then us as citizens and criminal aliens, or those that are tied to foreign terrorist organizations, mind you. That doesn't exist anymore. They are now all us. The lines are completely destroyed. And so now what you're seeing is they're wanting the general population to now believe that citizenship was an idea, that it's more like a global citizenship, that our state sovereignty, that our national sovereignty must be severed. In order to do that, the actual sovereignty of the individual must be severed. And that's what's happening. They're using these human beings, they're using foreign nationals as a way or a means to enact their global communist agenda.
And what concerns me is that we're still in step one here. We're still just snatching up rapists and murderers, and that isn't even close to all we have to do in order to save the United States of America. We've got to get 50 million of these freaking people out of the country. You say the general public is starting to succumb to this propaganda. It's being effective on them?
Oh, yes, sir. Last time we were on, you talked about the normal people, the normies, right? Norm and Norma. Well, a lot of them are not like us, where we are constantly trying to update ourselves on what's going on politically. Instead, they're living their everyday lives. They may vote, they may not vote. But one thing they are doing, and most Americans are doing, they have social media. So they're on, whether that's going to be Instagram, Facebook, if you're part of the older generation, or any other social media platform, all of us are there. We all have our own profile page and whatnot. So what the extreme left is doing, since they realize that it's those people that can be molded to receive their ideologies much better. So what they did is they got data scientists. Well, to back up, Arabella Advisors, the largest dark money network, created a 501c4 called Galvanize Action. Galvanize Action went out and they scoured the entire social media network, and they got all of our profiles. They used data scientists. Then they used behavior scientists to figure out each and every one of our profiles. Then based off of that, they figured out what our values are, whether that's in our religious values, political values, and then figured out how we could use, through behavior science and neuroscience, how they could use our values against us, like you talk about all the time, don't let them use our values against us. They figured out how to do that and create, not political messages, but when you go on social media, you'll see that they have ads. They created ads that every one of us sees that uses our values against us, and to push all of our ideas from, whether that's right, center right, center or left, to the extreme left. And they've been successful. All of your audience can go on there right now. You can go on to Galvanize Action Playbook, and their number one topic is immigration. And their number one target is white women. They even stated right there, their number one target, the first target was 11.4 million white women. And they were able to change the voting habits by 44 percentage points, all just by targeting the normies that you talk about, Norm and Norma. And so this general population, when you start seeing a general population going to the streets, going against ICE, starting to blockade ICE and Border Patrol operations that were not even a part of Antifa, that are not a part of these organizations, that are claiming that they're going to use their Second Amendment rights to come out and target ICE. There was a viral video that just came out about that. Unfortunately, inputs equal outputs. And if their only inputs are on social media and they're not listening to you, Jesse, they're not listening to other people like ourselves at Texas Public Policy Foundation, who are they getting their information from? And that is the problem, is that we unfortunately are not really targeting the same population, those that are only voting in the general election, those that are just living their everyday lives, the normies.
And I mean, we could probably spend about an hour on this. I want to talk about a couple other things. Let's talk about the Trump administration freezing visas for 75 countries. What's happening here?
Yeah, 100%. It's looking like that all the countries that are taking advantage of the United States through, whether that's through remittances or through their citizens in the United States taking advantage of our welfare programs, our taxpayer dollars is really what it is. And so when you look at remittances, you'll realize that a lot of these are going back to foreign states. They're going also, terrorist networks have also plugged into this, where it's actually funding foreign terrorist organizations worldwide. And so these are mechanisms that supplant those countries themselves, the foreign terrorist organizations, but also through those welfare benefits, what it's actually doing is it's also making them dependent upon those who are willing to give them the welfare, namely the Democrat Party. And so what he's doing is he's targeting those countries where a majority of their GDP, whether that's a few percentage points all the way up to 20 percentage points, is coming from their greatest export. And that is their own citizens in the United States, where those now citizens are not elite, are not aligned with our constitutional principles. They are aligned to either their country, to foreign terrorist organizations who they may be aligned with, like Al-Shabaab, if you're in Minnesota, the Mexican cartels, if you're in that diaspora, or also to the Democrat Party themselves, who are trying to protect them from ICE removal operations. And so this is like a broader scope approach to attack this situation, both through foreign diplomacy and also, so it's a macroscopic view of immigration enforcement that it will have a microscopic effect in our communities.
Evan, Trump also made an announcement, which was music to my ears, about sanctuary cities. Here he was.
Starting February 1st, we're not making any payments to sanctuary cities. We're states having sanctuary cities because they do everything possible to protect criminals at the expense of American citizens, and it breeds fraud and crime and all of the other problems that come. So we're not making any payment to anybody that supports sanctuary cities.
Aaron, so hold on. We were sending money to these places anyway?
Yeah, if you look at how we're actually sending money to these places, it's going to be through their citizens here in the United States. Look, when they come here into the United States, either they're going to be getting a work permit and they're going to be working either licitly or illicitly, whether that's going to be in under the table for construction work or whatever work they do here in the United States. But once again, their allegiance aligns with those who brought them here and who are keeping them here. What I mean by that, in order for them to get to point A, where their country is, into the United States, into our communities, they must pay the piper. And that piper is the Mexican cartels. Mexican cartels have a complete Belt and Road initiative. They've created an entire Silk Road for every one of our nations to gain access to every one of our communities. So not only is that foreign national now tied to the Mexican cartels, but they're also tied to those who they must also have allegiance to, whether that is radical Islam, whether that is other terrorist organizations or their nation state like CCP. It was in 2023 where, in your city where you live near in Houston, where the FBI was able to take down six secret police stations for the CCP that were doing just that in the United States. They were governing and controlling their citizens on U.S. sovereign soil in the U.S. And making sure that money not only went from their pockets, but also to the pocketbooks in China.
Evan, as always, outstanding, my man. Come back.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
The DOJ, they're putting in some work. Look, I know you're frustrated with Pam Bondi. I got that. Harmy Dillon is awesome. And they're all over something else. We're going to let her talk about it next. Do you know my New Year's resolution? I'm going to keep bringing it up because it's obnoxious and it's cliche, but it's true. I have said that 2026 is going to be the healthiest year of my life. I'm 44 years old. I would like to extend my life as long as possible so I can hang with my grandkids who don't exist yet. Chalk's Male Vitality Stack makes me feel 10 years younger. I'm not alone. I have 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds email the show saying, oh my gosh, you should see my blood work. Jesse, my doctor can't believe it. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk will change your entire life, your outlook on life, your energy level. You're about to have the best 2026. Well, I guess it's your only 2026. The best year of your life in years. C-H-O-Q, chalk.com/JesseTV. It's so much better now than it was under Biden. And I know it's easy to complain. I got all that, and you're perfectly free to voice your complaints. I have complaints myself, but what a bunch of turds we were living under before. And now we have some really wonderful people in the federal government. Joining me now, one of those people, huge fan, Harmy Dillon, U.S. Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights. Harmy, before we get to everything going on at the DOJ, what's with the knitting? I have to ask. I've never understood. My grandma was all into the knitting. I've met multiple people in my life who like knitting. I don't get it.
Well, first of all, it's a traditional female pursuit. I do believe in differences between men and women. So I do quilting, needlepoint, knitting, gardening, cooking, and a number of things that my mom and my grandmothers taught me. And so that's something that I really feel comfortable with. But secondly, it's very calming. And if I didn't have those needles in my hands at night, I'd feel like throttling people and rage tweeting. And so it's really good for all parties concerned that I channel my creative energies into that and not into more negative pursuits.
Yes, yeah. I guess it's better than rage tweeting and drinking alcohol. So I guess continue quilting. That reminds me, my grandma did great quilts. Anyway, Harmy, let's focus on the task at hand here so you don't have to go knit out your frustrations. What's happening over at the DOJ is going to make us feel better?
Well, there's a lot. Let's just start with election law. That is something that a lot of people are very concerned about. Today, there was a major victory at the United States Supreme Court in a case involving a Illinois congressman who wanted to challenge Illinois' practices of allowing mail-in ballots to be counted for 2 weeks after Election Day. And the lower courts had said that he didn't have standing to challenge that. Imagine that, a candidate for federal office doesn't have standing to challenge a federal election. And today, the Supreme Court ruled that, yes, he did. I was proud to be a co-author of the United States amicus brief in that case. This is very important. It's really going to open up a lot of opportunities because in the 2020 election, which a lot of people are still concerned about, court after court said that these candidates couldn't challenge the elections and only you were left with some lefty advocates and Mark Eliases of the world were allowed to, but candidates weren't. So that's insane. Another big project on the election front is I'm really proud of our leadership in helping clean up the voter rolls nationally by going after the voter rolls of every single state. Currently, I'm in litigation in 23 states and the District of Columbia, suing them over the refusal to share their voter rolls with the federal government under a authority that the Attorney General has, a 1960 Civil Rights Act. I've negotiated with and gotten compliance with several states, I'm happy to say. I'm close to suing or close to getting settlement with a few more, and we are going to touch every single state and finish this project before we're done. And no one has ever done that before, Jesse. We've already forced North Carolina to take 100,000 inaccurate voter registrations and clean them up and prove that people were citizens. And we also helped Wyoming defend its excellent voter ID law from challenge by the left. And so you're right. None of this ever would have been done in the prior administration. In fact, they hired a bunch of lawyers to weaponize the federal government against states trying to do a better job of election integrity. And we put an end to that at this DOJ.
Harmeet, I try the best I can to be a crotchety old man, but I can't help it. I'm my father's son. I'm trying really hard to find an innocent explanation for why a state
wouldn't want to clean up its voter rolls unless it's cheating. But I mean, you're always game to square me away. What would be an innocent explanation for wanting 100,000 voters who are dead? Or what's the innocent explanation?
So there's no innocent explanation. What they have is excuses. And let me tell you an excuse and an explanation. First, the explanation. Dirty little secret, most people who run for Secretary of State, whether it's a red state or a blue state, they don't really want to be Secretary of State. It's a stepping stone to some other job that they'd like to do, like governor, attorney general, Senate, blah, blah, blah. So nobody's really passionate about doing the boring work of cleaning up the voter rolls. And secondly, I think in some states, voter rolls are sloppy and inaccurate by design. That would include my former state of California, where I lived for 25 years, most blue states. They hand out driver's licenses to illegal aliens. And guess, you know, when you combine that with our motor voter law, National Voter Registration Act, that leads to a lot of people being on the voter rolls who are either green card holders or otherwise not citizens, or maybe even illegal aliens. They're on the voter rolls. There's hundreds of them in Michigan at a minimum, according to recent reports. And that was only found out because someone stepped forward and said, hey, my gosh, why do we have so many people on the jury duty roster who are not citizens? They should not be on the voter rolls either. And yet these states are not comparing those two. And then one more excuse that's being used by red states and blue states is, oh, sorry, Ms. AAG Dillon, we can't give it to you because we have state privacy laws. And gosh, God forbid the federal government get their hands on somebody's date of birth or their social security number. You know, this is ludicrous, Jesse. Obviously, we already know that information. And guess who issues the social security numbers? The federal government does. So this is dumb. It is an excuse. And bottom line, they don't want us to expose how sloppy most states' voter rolls are, how many people they've let vote illegally, and how many outcomes of elections were affected by the failure of secretaries of state and local registrars to do their jobs. We're going to get to the bottom of it in this administration.
I mean, Minnesota has been one of those things that is, I don't know if I want to say boiling point, because that's such a cliche term, but I've seen more people and heard more people in my life say, I'm not paying taxes this year because of all that. By the way, please pay your taxes. Don't go to prison because of Somalias. But it's one of those things that is creating rage in people, finding out just how many millions, billions of their dollars have been swindled away. How bad is it in Minnesota?
It's bad in Minnesota, Jesse, but it's bad in some other states as well. And I had a meeting here at the DOJ this morning, and I think you're going to see action in some other states as well. And you're seeing certain, frankly, minority communities from foreign nations, fairly recent arrivals in this country, where fraud is common. And not only is it common, you're kind of a sucker if you aren't doing fraud against the government. And so there's Haitian communities doing this, Somali communities doing this, and others. And of course, there's always good old American fraud. We definitely are going after that as well. But the wholesale ripping off of our country, and it is not just that. It is then getting plowed back into Democrat coffers and campaign finance contributions. You've seen politicians looking the other way. And this is massive and shocking. And if we don't put an end to it, we don't have a country, and we're turning into one of these third world hell holes where anything goes. That's just totally un-American and unfair. And I lived in California, and I won't say happily, but every year I got out the checkbook and wrote a big check for more than half my income to the state and federal government. And it infuriates me to see what's being uncovered here by these citizen journalists. And meanwhile, you have the mainstream media finding out nothing and not elucidating us. And so I'm grateful for the current situation where anybody with a camera and a mic can uncover fraud.
You brought up California. As you mentioned, you lived there 25 years. I've seen a lot of people say Minnesota is the epicenter of fraud in this country. And I've been telling my audience, you better gird your loins if you think it's bad in Minnesota for what can be uncovered in California. The stories I hear from journalists and friends out there are that they're stuff that makes my jaw hang open, and not much surprises me anymore. It's going to be bad when you start digging into there, isn't it?
It is bad. We already got some reports out there, but I can tell you, as someone who lived in San Francisco, where over 20 years ago, Gavin Newsom ran for mayor and promised care, not cash, for the homeless problem. the homeless problem is 10 times worse now, and a lot of cash flowed into the pockets of his friends and cronies, and nothing got better. It all got worse. The bullet train situation is another one. I think you're going to find all the same scams that you saw in Minnesota regarding home daycares and health care and other types of health care fraud happening throughout California. And my colleagues here in the DOJ are already investigating a lot of different things there. And so it is going to be a target-rich environment. Now, one thing about California, unlike Minnesota, is kind of largely a red state, believe it or not, geographically. All the blue parts are on the coast with the high populations. But California traditionally was a little bit more balanced than it has been in recent years. But it is 100% of the control of the Democrat Party now in Sacramento. And, you know, you're really seeing kind of a race to the bottom there and some other states. And I hope we can get to the bottom of it and correct it and hold people accountable before the whole economy collapses and then they raise their hands for a bailout.
Yeah, race to the bottom. That's how we got Kamala Harris. Harmeet, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I love chips. I think about them all the time. I had a long drive last night after the show. It's a long story, but I had a long drive and it actually occurred to me, it was about 3 hours, it occurred to me when I got where I was going that I spent like half the drive thinking about chips. That's who I am. I'm a chip man. Massa chips. I first tried Massa chips because my buddy Cernovich told me that the regular chips that I eat all the time are terrible for me, so I have to try these because they're better for you, no seed oils and all that other stuff. I thought they were going to be gross. They're the best chips I've ever had in my life. They have the best crunch. It's freaking spectacular. Try the lime ones. Lime ones and habanero ones. And sometimes I combine those two. I have a lime chip and a habanero chip. I stack them on top of each other. Try some Massa chips. And you can eat them without guilt. MassaChips.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. We have a mental illness problem in this country. Joining me now to talk about that, not that she has that problem, is Jennifer Gilardi, senior policy analyst with the Heritage Foundation. Jennifer, I know you're not mentally ill, but that woman is, and we see this a lot, and it actually is extremely sad because the truth is that I shouldn't call her brain dead. That's a little too on the nose. That woman who is now dead, she had the same thing, the bugged out eyes. What's wrong with these people?
I don't know. I commented on X, Jesse. Hello, by the way. It's so disheartening because I'm wondering if women have always been this mentally ill or we just see more of it because of social media and everything is on public display. But I happen to think they are more mentally ill and the stats bear that out. But in my most gracious moments, I actually, like you said, I feel bad for these women. They are filled with so much rage and resentment and discontent, and particularly with men, thank you, feminism, that I can't fathom what it's like to live in their bodies. However, while I would never be caught dead doing something like this, screaming at ICE officers, I can say that at moments in my life, because I kind of came under the spell of feminism, I've been filled with that same kind of anger and discontent with my own life. And it never manifested itself in going out to protest or extreme things like these women, you know, in Minneapolis. But it did prevent me from having the type of relationship with men that I wanted. And I think secretly, or maybe obviously not so secretly, these women hate men. Somebody on X had posted like, where are the men in Minneapolis? Are they out ice fishing? These women don't have men in their lives. They don't have good men. They don't have anybody they're responsible for. And what's crazy is even if they have children, they seem to have abandoned those duties, those priorities to their own family to do something like this, to put their lives at risk. And, you know, I know you don't love the mushy parts and the sentimental parts, but I think it's an important point for all women to hear. Again, my own experience, I spent a lot of time reflecting on my choices and shedding tears for what I lost, like family and children, because of the decisions I made. But I spent a lot of time in repentance, and no amount of societal affirmation saying, oh, you're fine the way you are, you don't need a man, all of the things that feminism tells you, nothing would steer my heart in the right direction. And it would only come through prayer and repentance. And it was through that process of grieving and asking forgiveness from God that I could move forward with my life with any sort of joy and gratitude and virtue and actually change the direction of my life. And moreover, I had to get rid of the chip on my shoulder. These women don't have a chip, Jesse. They have cinder blocks, like, all over them. And frankly, I hate to say it, but I do see a lot of conservative women carrying that chip, if not cinder block, on their shoulder. And I'm sorry, it's not attractive. It's not attractive to men, and it's not attractive to anyone.
Yeah, it's the ugliest thing in the world, besides maybe flats, but we're not going to talk about that right now. And by the way, we can always get mushy on this show when it comes to asking God's forgiveness, because Lord knows I have asked many times before in my life. Jen, can you help me understand? You said they're angry at men specifically. Can you help me understand why? I don't want to play amateur psychologist. Is this a bad dad? Was she ugly in high school? Was she been mistreated? I want to understand.
I think there's an element of all of that. There is some what we kind of call developmental trauma or attachment issues. You know, women don't know how to be good women unless they have mothers that exemplify what it's like to be a good wife to a husband. And same thing with men. We need good role models, and we kind of haven't had that. But you do have to look at feminism and the role it's played in the historical context. And I think even first wave feminists, you know, this can be argued, but I'd like to get rid of the world altogether. I would like to live in a society after feminism, because no matter how you split hairs about when it went astray or why it went astray, ultimately, it's taking women away from the natural order of life, I think, and their natural priorities, which should be family. And again, there's plenty of women that won't have family. God has a different calling for all of our lives. But I think when you're not at peace with those choices that you've made or with where God is taking you and have that kind of attitude of surrender, it does manifest in jealousy. And I do think there's a little bit of... I think you mentioned, like, women tend to be jealous of other women and kind of competing for male attention, whether they know it or not. And I think that does bear a little bit of resentment. You know, I hate to say it because it does seem condescending and just downright mean, but you don't see a lot of attractive women at these protests.
No, you don't. Feminism is for ugly women, and maybe that's just where it comes from. I don't know whether it's a chicken or the egg thing, but dimes don't show up. They don't drop their kids off at daycare and show up with their lesbian wives to scream at ICE agents to shoot them in the face. Of course, they're out spending money and things like that, but they're not doing these things. Maybe it's just basic ugliness. Can you help me understand the child aspect of it? Because this is something that does exist. Dropping your six-year-old off at daycare before you go try to impede law enforcement doesn't just seem kooky and left-wing. It seems like you're a bad mom. If my wife was doing that for a right-wing cause, I would have a serious issue with her. What? Why are you doing this?
Well, again, it's a misordering of priorities. With women, and they probably don't have good men in their life that, I'm sorry, at some point men have to step up and say, kind of, this is the stereotypical crazy behavior of women that we've talked about, this highly emotional, dysregulated, and men have to say, you're not going to do, not in a controlling way, but this is not good for society when we have these crazy women that are just allowed to keep spewing hate. This is such a wound. If we don't reestablish or heal this relationship between men and women, if we're constantly being pitted against each other in a power struggle and working against the complementarity of men and women, this is never going to end. You're going to keep having miserable women that are unhappy with their lives and need a place to kind of put that motherly, like that mama bear energy. They're directing it into these kind of social causes, and that's not helpful.
What's wrong with Little Caesars? I love Little Caesars. Have you had the stuffed crazy bread? They actually have stuffed crazy bread now. It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. What's your problem?
I don't think that's the kind of cheese that Kennedy's talking about when they flip the food pyramid. I think they want, like, I think there's a lot of plastics in that cheese and food dyes. But the good news is there is more real food. We're talking about meat is fine. Fats are fine. Milk is fine. Whole fat milk. And you're talking a little bit about kind of the mental health issue. And I think I heard you say this on Megyn Kelly's show. Like, there's a lot of estrogen in kind of the birth control pills, but there's also a lot of what they call xenoestrogens in some of the ingredients in our food, like things that are endocrine disruptors that disrupt the natural hormonal balance, the natural gut function, which affects hormones, that could be affecting kind of estrogen levels, testosterone levels in males, that are throwing things out of balance that creates some of this mental illness to kind of tie it back. But when you eat real food that is devoid of any of these hormone disruptors and these chemicals and these processed foods, you might see a better regulation of hormones in the body. And I think we need to change the conversation when we're talking about weight loss and health from just macronutrient calories to how is this affecting the hormones in our body? Insulin regulation, melatonin, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, all of these things that play a factor in not only physical health, but mental stability as well.
Still delicious. Thanks, Jen. I appreciate it. Lighten the mood. Next. It's time to lighten the mood. It's a quick one. It was not long ago, the communists not only controlled all the corporate press, you know, like we talked about already in the show, they controlled all of social media, every bit of it. Facebook, Twitter, they controlled every inch of it. And don't get me wrong, they still control a lot. But Elon Musk bought X. Now, you can go to X and find the truth. You have to sift a little, but you can find the truth. Dave McCormick, GOP senator. His wife just became president of Facebook. No, all is not right with the world, but there are these little glimmers of truth that are starting to shine through. It should make you feel good. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.